Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Leonard, I like the energy. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Brandon Warren. I am the youth minister here at Swiss Cove Christian Church. I was not scheduled to preach to you guys this morning. We were going to have Dave Peters from Rapha House come, Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. It is our mission of the month for the month of July. They're one of my favorite organizations in the world. We love supporting them. They take girls out of the sex trafficking industry in Cambodia, Haiti, and Thailand, and they give them therapy. They teach them about the faith, about Jesus. They give them a trade and help them find jobs after they turn 18 and leave the house so that they don't fall back into that industry. It's an absolutely incredible organization that is fighting against one of the biggest injustices in our world that we face. And so if you've never checked out Rapha House, I highly suggest going to their website, Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, international.org. You can find videos on what they do there. They have a link to a Vimeo account that is just full of all kinds of information. You all can learn about them, from what they do inside their buildings to how to prevent our kids from being sex trafficked in our own country and the safety measures that we can put in place to keep our people safe. It's a great organization. But I do get to, am excited to be preaching to you guys this morning. But before I do, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. It's something Elliot can attest to. We've been working together for 8 years. He knows this. My wife has been on my personal team for 3 years, so she might know this even better by now. But it's that I am very quick to make quick judgments about questions that I'm asked. I will come up with an answer, even if I don't know the answer, very quickly. I'll just make a decision and go. Even relatively big questions, I have an opinion on. I tend to be very opinionated. Even these big questions, I'll answer it with something along the lines like, I need to think about it, knowing that I'm not supposed to give an answer right then and there. I'll say, I need to think about it. But, and then I'll say what I'm thinking. I'm really good at spitballing and throwing ideas around. It's a really good thing. It can also be a really bad thing, as you can imagine. But in this area of these like quick judgments, quick decisions, I think I'm a product of both my personality and our culture, right? The world we live in is a world that is often filled with quick judgments, harsh criticisms, quick reactions, right? We don't wait to hear the evidence. We don't wait to hear the full story. If we're getting multiple accounts of a story, we generally get it from sources that agree with each other. And so we'll hear a story, we sit down and we shoot off the tweet, we make the Facebook post, we argue with the person across the table at us, and we're just quick to make a judgment, and then we kind of go away from the situation. We've been trained to do this through the news, through social media, through how American culture works, right? News cares about not being right, but being first. They want to be first on scene, first to report, first to break the news. They want to make sure that they're getting it out there. And social media is the same way, where we want to make sure we're the first one to tweet this idea, where we're the first one to put it out on Facebook so that we're getting the engagement, so that we're telling people our opinion and that they listen to us. We want to be in this mode of making these quick decisions. It kind of reminds me of one of the most famous scenes from Parks and Recreation that has since been turned into a meme or a GIF. Normally, you guys would be used to me talking about The Office up here, but I do love other sitcoms, believe it or not, Parks and Rec being one of them. As many of you may know or not know, some of the writers from The Office went over to Parks and Recreation. Some of the actors as well, Karen Filippelli became Ann Perkins, and so I'm very partial to Parks and Recreation as well, but it's this GIF and meme of a man from the Venezuelan government that you've probably seen saying, straight to jail. Right, a lot of us who have seen the show, we know this monologue very well of, like, you know, make an appointment with the dentist, don't show up, straight to jail. We have the best patients in the world. Undercooked chicken, believe it or not, jail. Overcooked fish, jail. I don't know the whole thing, but it's absolutely hilarious. Comedy gold. He's listing off all the things that people can go to jail for in Venezuela and how quickly they make these decisions, where if someone cuts them off in traffic, jail. If somebody riots, jail. And he just lists all this off. It's absolutely hilarious, but we do the same things in our brain. Like, that's how we live our world, is someone cuts us off in traffic, someone sits on the other side of the political party as me, someone does something I don't like, and we just send them straight to jail. We write them off immediately. Past three elections, I know I've seen on Instagram and Facebook, you know, if you voted for this person, if you sat on this side of the aisle, don't unfriend me, don't talk to me, I don't want to be your friend. We make these harsh judgments about something so little that we know about someone, that we don't actually know the person. And then we get really upset when people do that to us, when people boil us down to being Christian, when people boil us down to one idea or one thought that we have and make judgments about us for that same thing. And we're in church, let's talk about God. What kind of judgments could God make about our lives? What kind of judgment could God make about you? I mean, he knows everything you've ever done. He knows everything I've ever done. He has a more accurate list of the good versus the bad in our life. How fast could God send you to jail, aka hell? How fast could we get the one-way ticket there? We love to make quick judgments about people, quick decisions, and be rash, but we forget how patient God is with us, both us individually and as a human race, right? Adam and Eve in the garden, they ate the tomato, right? It wasn't an apple. Apples are delicious. Tomatoes are disgusting. They ate the tomato, and immediately God could have made the decision right there to end the whole thing, right? He could have ended, justfully ended all of humanity, the world. He could have said, experiment over. I don't like it, and wiped us all out. Time and time again, he comes so close to wiping out the entire nation of Israel. One of those, my favorite stories, I know our 50s plus class has talked about it many times. Numbers 14 is one of my favorite stories in scripture. But he never did it. Only in the flood. Never again. He had a different reaction. God sent Jesus. And today we're going to be looking at a small section of the Sermon on the Mount. One of the most famous stories or sermons that Jesus ever gave, and he's talking about this idea of judgment, and we're going to be looking at a mini parable. I don't know why they call it a mini parable, because it's just a short parable, but it's still a full parable. But we're going to be looking at a mini parable in Matthew chapter 7, starting right in verse 1. Let's go ahead and dive in and see what it has to say to us today. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And here's where we get our parable for the day. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite." When we see you hypocrite, we love to point at other people and be like, "Hey, he's talking to you." And I'll say, "No, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to us." "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We've got a couple of ideas from this passage that we need to discuss before we get to our bottom line. And the first is this word judgment that we've thrown around quite a bit today. Our culture has softened this word quite a bit. If I asked you all what it means to judge someone, if I said, what does it mean to judge someone, you'd say something along the lines of making a rash observation about someone's personality, ideals, or appearance, right? That's what we think of judgment as. And though culturally this is where the word judgment is going, it's not where the scripture is going. If I said, try again, try defining it again, somewhere around like a third, fourth, fifth definition, we'd get to like judge sitting on a judgment seat, deciding right or wrong kind of judgment. And that's where the word judgment, the Greek word krino, is rooted in, that's used here. It's a verb used in deciding someone's fate, deciding whether someone's guilty or not guilty based on what they've done. So this word judgment here isn't our cultural casual word, but more like black robes, cool gold scales, gavel, make loud noise type of judgment, right? It's about deciding where someone is going to go based on what they've done. And with that, we see the overarching command in this scripture. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. There's another part of this scripture that culture's kind of ruined. And it's a phrase that's not used in it, but it's the phrase, go to hell. We hear that phrase quite often. We hear it in TV shows and movies. It's probably come out of our mouths a handful of times. Whether we know the weight of what we're saying, or we don't know the weight of what we're saying, we're still saying it. To the point where we like to decide who is going to hell and who's not in our own mind. We like to cast judgment. We like to decide where people are going based on their actions. We like to say where people's eternal destination is going to be. And the problem with that is Jesus explicitly told us not to. And there's this in-between-the-lines command or idea in this scripture that people who judge other people, and remember, this is big judgment, not like what you're wearing or anything like that. This is eternal destination talk. There's this between the lines idea that people who judge think they're sitting on the judge's seat. when we see people sin in their life and we tell them where they're going, we tell them their eternal destination based on how they're acting, we are sitting in God's seat. We're sitting in the position of God. And it's not our job to be God, right? I don't know what it is about humans, but there's a human problem where we really want to be God. We saw that last week in Elliot's message, right? Big cool stone tower in Mesopotamia with a garden on top is kind of cool. Big cool stone tower in Mesopotamia with a garden on top trying to reach God, bad idea. Like, we shouldn't take over God's seat, but we really try to become God. We really try to reach heaven. We really try to be that. The problem is our job isn't to be God, it's to point people to Jesus. We're not worthy to be God. We shouldn't try to be God. And I think if I asked you guys the question, are you God? We would all say, well, no. We know the correct answer to that question is no. That's why we're sitting in the seats we're sitting in. But something I've learned about people is even though we know the correct answer, we don't always use the correct action. We still like to assume that seat. We like to tell people whether they're going to heaven or whether they're going to hell. We like to make the judgment. And telling someone they're going to heaven is awesome and encouraging, and I don't really think that's what Jesus is addressing here, considering the parable that we get after this, but I think we should be very careful about what we're doing in those situations. But Jesus is addressing this idea of sin, this idea that what I don't struggle with is worse than what I do struggle with. And there's an example that I can get us all on the same page with here, and it's if I said murderers are going to hell, right? Most of us are pretty cool getting on board with this idea of murderers going to hell. You want to know why? None of us are murderers, hopefully. Hopefully. If you are, please come talk to me after service. That would be a new one for me. It would be very interesting. But none of us really struggle with murderous thoughts. We're probably not committing murderous actions. So we're okay judging the murderer. The problem is we do that with a lot more than murder. We do that with any sin that we don't really struggle with. We like to judge people based on that, but here's a problem with that. Guess what judgment we deserve? All of us. It's hell. The judgment you deserve, the judgment I deserve, is to go straight to hell. Sin, no matter what the sin, broke the relationship we had with God. So our sin, my sin, your sin, sometime at the scripture says the age of knowing, whether it's 8, 10, 12, it probably different depending on the person. It's not an actual number age, but a maturity age. At the age of knowing, we decide to do wrong against God, and it breaks that relationship with God. And there's one thing that fixes that relationship. One, it's not all the good that I'm going to do. It's not somebody else. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. It's what happens in the water right behind me. Maybe not that specific water. It can be any water. I just like that water because it's heated and clean. Thank you. Thank you for laughing at that, John. I thought it was funny. But, you know, the only thing that's going to fix this relationship is our relationship with Jesus Christ. My faith isn't going to save you. Elliot's faith, not going to save you. The person that baptized you, not going to save you. The person that first introduced you to Jesus, not going to save you. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to prevent you from going to hell. That's it. And the problem with that is we like to pick on things that we don't struggle with. We like to look at, you know, the homosexual community, the drug addicted community, the alcoholic community. You can make whatever list on the opposite side of what you struggle with. And we like to say where they're going. We like to make determinations based on their actions. All the while, our lives are full of sins like hate, lies, pornography. And I don't need to tell you what you struggle with. You know what it is. We're no better than the people we like to look down on. Don't forget that the measure that we put up to other people will be the measure that's used on us. So if I look at someone and I say, your sin is going to send you to hell, then that's the measure I'm putting on myself. I still have sin. You still have sin. We need to be really careful what culture has made acceptable that's no longer acceptable to us. If I want a one-way ticket to the lake of sulfur and fire, where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth for whatever all that means, what all that imagery means, then I want to make sure that I sit down in God's seat and get real comfy and start determining where people go. And before I go any further, I want to say I'm not excusing any sins. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. There's no time when we should just be okay with sinning, living in sin. It is not a good thing. It's not something we should strive for, but that's not what's being addressed here. What I am saying is that your eternal destination is between you and God, just like the person's next to you and whoever else we look at. Their eternal destination is between you and God. Now, it's our job to point people to Jesus, to help people along in this relationship. But the eternal destination is between them and God. And Jesus gives us a parable and tells us where to go from here. He says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite." Remember that use at us. "You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Jesus is telling us that our focus should not be on what everyone else is doing, but on what we're doing. We get so fixated on fixing other people when we're the ones that are broken too. We're not complete. We're sitting in the chairs we're sitting in today because we know we're not complete. Jesus gives this vivid analogy to show us the idiocy of our judgment and how stupid it is for us to cast judgment on other people. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Remember, parables, they have an element of the absurd that the meaning hinges around. We talked about that in our parable series last year, and having a plank in your eye is absurd. This is where the meaning of this parable sits. We're so quick to notice and criticize the faults of others while remaining completely oblivious to our own shortcomings. This image of a tiny speck versus a massive plank is there to highlight the absurdity of this behavior that we have created and made so common in our culture. And then it goes on to say, when you remove the plank from your own eye, then you will be able to see how to remove the speck of sawdust from your brother's eye. And I think that happens when you're truly forgiven the way Jesus forgives. When we truly understand what happens in the water behind me, it's this gift that's undeserved. When we truly grasp what that is, we see the world differently. And that is, we get to understand the difference between accountability and judgment. Accountability is a fun word that we use in church. It's also used in culture, but we use it in church to say, "I'm going to tell you what you need to do with your life," right? And accountability and judgment are very different. And it's because true accountability, biblical accountability, comes from a place of understanding, empathy, and partnership, not a place of pity, humiliation, and arrogance. It comes from understanding, empathy, and partnership, understanding that we're all in the same boat. That whatever someone else is going through, we might not be going through the same thing, we're probably not going through exactly the same thing, but we're in the same sin boat that they're in. Empathy to know that they're hurting just like we're hurting. Empathy to know that there's emotion that goes along with these things. And partnership to walk through it with them, not into sin with them, but helping them walk out of sin the same way we have to walk out of sin, the same way we have probably walked out of sin in our life. The only one who knows exactly what you're going through is Jesus. But we're, you know, we like to say we're in this together, and we are when it comes to this idea of getting through sin. So where do we go from here, right? We've had some judgment talk, some forgiveness talk, and a really weird carpentry analogy. What does this mean for us? First and foremost, it means stop trying to assume people's eternal destination based on what you know about them. Stop trying to assume people's eternal destination based on what you know about them. And let me say it a little more harshly, which is the way I needed to read it. This isn't me picking on anybody. It's just what I needed to hear as I was reading through this. And it's get out of God's seat. Get out of God's seat. If you're trying to assume where someone is going based on the actions that they've committed, you are attempting to sit down on the throne of God. And let me tell you what, I do not suggest doing that. Not only are you breaking 3 or 4 commandments when you do that, but you and I, we're not worthy of that seat. We're not mature enough for that seat. We don't have the perspective of that seat. There's an endless list of reasons why we should not sit down on God's throne. It's not my place. It's not your place to determine someone's eternal destination. It is God's job and God's job only. I don't envy that job either. I don't want to be the one at the end of time trying to make these decisions. We have to get out of God's seat. And the second thing that this means for us is that your eternal destination is between you and God. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. Jesus is saying, stop looking at everyone else. Start looking in the mirror. Are you as clean as you claim to be? Have we gotten over sin the way we should have? Are you and Jesus on good terms? The way we should be treating people in the world around us is with love, grace, humility, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, I love it. Right after it, it says, against these things, there is no law. You can't do wrong when you're only living by the fruits of the Spirit. Because if we look out and judge the world with anger, with quick judgments, jumping to conclusions, big J judgment, then Jesus is telling us just how God is going to judge us here. Just what's going to come for us in that moment. The same anger, the same quick judgments, the same big J judgment that we cast on someone else. So here's the action we want to take this week. We want you guys to reflect this week. Reflect. It's a simple, not-so-fun task of taking the plank out of our own eye, looking at the plank in our eye, and realizing what we've been forgiven of. Realizing that the love God has for us might also be for everyone else. And go ahead and include the people you're excluding in the word everyone right now, because it's everyone beyond the everyone we like to assume. So what we want you to do this week is just reflect. Find this place of understanding how much God and Jesus have done for you. Find this place where we can see the world as savable, not already on its way to hell. Because if we see our world as already ruined, we're not going to save it. We're going to hold on to ourselves and cling for safety. We have to see the world as savable so that we're willing to go out and save it. We need to get to a place where we can name sin, where we can hold people accountable, but do it from a place of understanding, empathy, and partnership, not from a place of judgment. Finding a place where we stop trying to sit down in God's seat and start understanding what it's like to truly fall into his service. Because we're really good at casting judgment. We are. We're good at making quick decisions. It's part of our culture. It's part of who we are, but that's not what this week's about. The people in this room, people watching online, you could be listening on the podcast on Wednesday. We want you to take a moment. We want you to take this week to reflect. Make this whole week about reflection, about understanding, and knowing that we're just as bad as sinners as whoever we like to point the finger at, because our eternal destination is between us and God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day and everything you've done, Lord. We pray that as we go through this week, we can reflect on the grace that you've given us, the love that you've saved us with, that we can focus on this hard teaching you gave us about judgment, something we don't get to talk about very often, Lord, that we understand, truly understand what you are saving us from. You're not just saving us from our sins. You're not just saving us from the moments we're in right now, but the eternal moment, the eternal destination. Lord, help us to love you with all of our heart. Help us to focus on you this week. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.